When it starts with God, it ends in victory. When it starts with me, it ends in defeat. Now take that and apply it over your day, over your business venture, over your relationship. I'll say it again. If it starts with God, your day, your career, your relationship, it ends in victory. Even if it goes through seasons of defeat. That's so annoying that I'm afraid you missed it. So if it started with God, there may be a season of defeat, a silent Saturday, a bloody cross, but it will end in victory and empty tomb.
Hey friends, welcome back to the channel. So in this video, we're going to be covering the five different types of software tech.
No supervision. Who knows what we get ourselves into?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Sorry, I missed the one yesterday.
That wasn't my account. It was weird.
That is good. Yeah. His pear soft. It was soft. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, let me actually make sure I'm going to go back and down.
Ask a lot of great questions. You get a lot of insights in the recording.
I look forward to it.
All right, so is it hot in Ireland? Sorry.
No, it's pretty bad, actually. I don't know if I can show you how it looks, but it looks pretty...
It's pretty gray.
Yeah. It's pretty dull.
Yeah, it looks good.
Expecting a rain, maybe.
Yeah, it's wearing the days of hot. It's in the high 90s here, and typically get a thunderstorm in the afternoon. I'd say most days this week.
Oh, that's yesterday for me, or whatever it was. Yeah. Did. And then, of course, that meteorite that fell, that's all over the news.
Was that in the news or Southeast? But where was that?
It ended up going on someone's roof in Georgia. I'm not sure where in Georgia, but it like... They say it's lucky to have your house hit with a meteorite. That's crazy. I guess it's better there.
All right,
so Soren, how many of these products
are
you responsible for, and how many times are we
going to
see you on these
demos? Yeah, I think I'm responsible for three products. You have seen one. I can show you one more today, and then... Maybe next week, if we have time, I can show you one other product. But yeah. Is Christian joining or is he?
I forgot to forward these all to him, but we scheduled them within the line, so I would say let's go ahead and get started. Just make sure we're recording.
I think Kira's thing. Shut your video. You might have to switch back on. Okay, so let me go back to amplify and then. Is my screen visible?
Yeah. See it.
Yeah, so this is the amplify screen. So this is the second product. We saw websites yesterday. This is the streaming product. So we are actually working on implementing some new features on streaming as well. The dashboard which you see right now is the V2 version of the platform, like the release we did in Feb. So this is the new and the modern looking dashboard. And some features which we released in Feb was Stream Now, which allows the user to stream immediately and back-to-back stream. So if you have two consecutive streams, we didn't have the capacity before Feb, now we can do that. So I already have a stream started because it takes some time to process the streams. So some of the prerequisite is that if you are a church or an organization, you should have an encoder. It could be a physical encoder or it can be a software. So I am currently using a software called OBS. So OBS is an open source streaming platform. So if I want to stream something online, I can use it. So, and there are other platforms as well, but this one is free. So we usually use this for the demo. And this is how the OBS platform looks like. So it is very easy to use. So the only thing that you have to get from our streaming platform is a stream URL and stream key, which you will get from streaming equipments. So once you go there, you have to select the encoder. So there are multiple encoders, as I mentioned. So I'll be going and just selecting OBS, and I have to copy these two values and paste it in OBS. So I will copy the URL. I will switch back to OBS, go to settings, and go to stream, and I have already done that. So the stream URL and the stream key has to be pasted, so they know that which URL I am sending my stream to. Once they have done that, they have to hit on start streaming, and they can share a screen. So I am just sharing this screen right now, and it is getting streamed to the streaming platform. Once that is done, once the stream URL and the stream key is set, you have to schedule a stream. So what usually people do is they can create events which are recurring in nature. So let's say I want to create a stream. So I will just give it a title. I can select a preacher. If I want to add a new preacher, I can do that. For this example, I'll just select the options what I have. I can add the stream to a particular category. So I can do that. I can add a series to it. I can do a location, like where I'm streaming from. I can do that. And once I am in this section, so we only ask two inputs from the user. Like one is the stream title and the timing of the streams, like when do you want to go live. So for this stream, I have already gone live from like 1:30 my time to 2 p.m. So let's say I want to start another stream at 2 p.m. to 30 p.m. And I can create a recurring event also. So if you want to create a weekly event, you can say, okay, I want to do it on every Sunday, once every week. That's one advantage here. And then I can also add passages from the Bible. So if I go here, I can mention the chapter, I can mention the verse and click on add. So the passage gets added. I can do also SEO customization here. Once I have filled in, so the only two required fields to create a stream is just the title and the time. You don't need anything else. You can go to next. And then before the stream starts, as a user, you can actually add an offline video, like a pre-roll kind of a thing where you are showing the viewers like what they want to see before the stream starts. So I have an audio offline video loop which is currently running behind the scenes. I'll show you, and they can add any video they as a default video. So for this reason, I'm going live. The user has option of two things. Like if they already have a recorded video, they can use simulated live, and they can use any of the assets which they have saved in our library, or they can go live. Like if it's a live event, they can do that. If they want to add an image, more details to the stream, they can do it here. I'll go to next. Another thing the users can do is they can publish the stream to a platform called Sermon Cloud. So each church or an organization will get a URL with a slug associated with it. So every church has a URL where it shows list of all the streams they have done till date. So I have an option to keep this particular stream as a draft. I can keep it as publish. I can keep it as featured. So these are some of the option of the video library which the customer gets. They can share to Facebook. They can share to YouTube. Like I have a page set up here which the stream will be posted to. So I'm just switching it off for now. And then I am setting my stream status as publish. So this tells that the stream is going to be live in some time. So if I hit save and done, the stream is created. For this demo, I have already started a stream. So if I go back to dashboard, it will show up whatever I was showing right now, it is getting streamed. So I was showing you the demo of how the streaming works, and it was getting actually streamed. And how can the user see that? The administrator of this particular platform, they have to share a URL to all the user. So if I go to this URL, this is where the viewers are seeing the stream. So this is the place where they are seeing the stream, and they can create a prayer request here. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So this is the streaming platform what we have right now, and there are multiple customization inside the platform, but basically like this is an overview of what the platform can do by itself.
So just some questions. I mean, it felt rather complicated at the beginning when it came to choosing the decoder and those types of things. Is there instructional tutorials, or do we walk clients through it? What do we do?
Yeah, I think that there is tutorials on how to set that up. So if I search for encoder, I think there should be one. Yeah, setting up your encoder. So it will actually tell you like where they have to go, what they want to do, like which inputs they have to take. And yeah, so it is all mentioned. There is a video tutorial also. Yeah, I think the very first step is a bit difficult for a non-technical person. But other than that, once the encoder is set up, the streaming journey is very, very simple. And like one other feature, like you don't have to go through all the hassle of what I have done. You can just do this feature called Stream Now, where you don't have to do anything. You just type in the title, say how much duration you want it to run, and then just hit on Stream Now. It creates a stream. So, but you should have your OBS running. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and I was thinking the same thing. Sorry, go ahead, Jason.
No, I was just elaborating on what you said.
I mean, my question is, is there any value in, honestly, I don't know if I'm asking the right person to ask this question, but is there any value in us having our own encoder? Do any of our competitors bring it all in-house so that you don't have to go out to a third party and download something? I guess how specific that technology is and whether there's any value in either incorporating a default one into our platform or something like that.
Steve, I think it's a great question. I think AWS have their own encoder. And for one encoder is, I think, approximately $1,000. And there are many streaming platforms who have their own encoder. So they have their own hardware kind of a thing. Like, I think there was discussions 1 year ago to do that, but I don't know where it fell through. But yeah, there are companies who have their own encoders and they sell it on their platform as well. Like, do our competitors have their own encoder? Yeah, I think there was discussion. I don't know where it fell through. Mostly, I think Kerry would be the right person to ask because he was the PM when I joined. Any other questions you have?
Do you, when the actual stream happens and you can publish it to YouTube or other places, if you don't publish it, is it still recorded? No. Or is this streamed over? I see. Okay, so we don't have any of the streamed content on any of our servers or any of that type of stuff, right?
No, we do that, but they have to hit publish. So once they hit publish, then only the stream gets stored. So all my streams, whatever I have done till now, is in the archived stream. So if I have hit that publish button there, it all stays here in the archived stream.
So I've kind of had this overarching question with a few of the different products. So the stuff that we have that belongs to the client, do we know if we charge when a client leaves us for the content, if they want to have continued access to it, or if it's something that they want to get to in the future? Do we allow them to do that? How do we handle the content that we're storing on behalf of our client?
As far as I know, I think we are charging them for each media file. I think it's per GB. Once they leave, I'm not 100% sure how that works. I have to dig through that. And for the video, like one good thing about the platform itself is that they can edit the video here and they can republish it. So if I want to trim a certain video, I can do that. I can like take part of a video and then save it again so that I have that functionality. But I'm not sure if they leave us, what do we do with the storage? It's a great question, Jason.
And it doesn't matter if it's a Windows-based or an Apple environment, right? They can either one.
They can use any software. So yeah, the very first step is little tricky. Like they have to download a software and they have this option to change to Mac or change to Windows. So if I change to Mac, I will get all the encoders which are usually supported by only Mac, and OBS is one of them. So OBS is shared across both platforms.
And we don't charge for storage, do we?
I think we do.
We do.
I think it AWS charges us, so we have to charge.
Yeah, exactly. I'm wondering if videos add up quickly for storing all of their, their content across thousands of churches. I think it would be cool. I guess we don't have it now, but an AI editor of these videos to be able to pull out like the best clips and to publish them, on like third-party sites and stuff like that.
Yeah, great feedback. I think David Mills is the dev manager for my team, and he's working on some cool AI things. I think one is he's working on the transcription of the video. So if somebody is speaking, the AI would generate a transcription. I think that work is getting, currently he has a POC in place. We have to just work towards getting that into our system.
I took on
this product as a product manager. I was working as a product owner before, so the PM role is new to me.
So I guess, have you seen any feedback that comes through from clients relative to this product and where some of their obstacles to using it are, or maybe even the flip side of that, how they like it? Do you see any of that feedback from clients?
I haven't till today. That was PM who did all the client feedback and stuff. I think there were a few feedback which came in for the release we did. So the first release we did in like after a year was this back-to-back streaming and Stream Now. So I think we had few outages maybe in the month of April and May. And customers were not very happy with how the system was performing. But we have fixed it all now. And we are working on integrating giving and streaming. So the next big release for us is the streaming and giving integration. I can quickly show what we have done. Just a moment.
Did every product have a product roadmap as far as releases and what they're going to do in those releases, or is it just do you ever see anything like that?
I haven't overseen roadmap till date. I have to work towards the Q4 roadmap. Yeah, I think that was all PM responsibility.
Yeah, imagine this is one of those products where highly visible in the sense when there are issues with service outages. I can imagine a lot of contacts can get very frustrated very quickly if this system isn't working. So that would result in a lot of complaints, I imagine.
Yeah. And one of the things that surprises me is that we don't have weekend support for many of these products. I would think this is when we're using them the most.
We have a weekend support person. I think Chris handles weekend support usually, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good call out. Because, it's the most important plan.
So I think the systems are down, but these are the designs. Like this is what the users will see once that release goes out, and they will have a QR code and they can scan the QR code on their phone to give, and they will have a give button which when clicked opens up a giving form like this. So yeah, this is something which we are working on, hopefully something for Q4 release. So yeah, almost, the work is almost done.